will be verses 11 through 13. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ.
Thank you, Jeff. Let me invite you to go ahead and open your Bibles, if you have them this morning, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Each morning at the lectures this week, we began with a time of worship together and song and study. And on one of those mornings, I was very encouraged by some thoughts that Jeff Walling put together and use that in part of what I'll be sharing with you today, and want to give credit for that. Also, want to mention, as you're turning to the passage there in Genesis 2, that we are going to be beginning this month two new series. We'll be beginning a series on Sunday mornings next week on family. And I've entitled this expository series, Family Portraits from the Bible. And we'll begin next Sunday with the first family, Adam and Eve and their children, and hopefully we'll glean some lessons that we can apply in our own family units here within this church family as we move through these various family portraits in both the Old and New Testament. Also, on Sunday evenings, I hope you'll be able to be back, because we're going to be doing a very practical look at evangelism, and we're going to talk about sharing faith in a natural way, and in a way that I am convinced that every one of us can be involved in. So if you're interested in those who do not know Jesus Christ, and I know you are, plan to be back here as we talk about ways to more effectively share the good news of Jesus with those who do not know Him. Here in Genesis chapter 2, Scripture begins with the story of creation and the home in paradise that God created for Adam and for Eve. In Genesis 2, beginning in verse 18, let me just read through to the end of the chapter. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." There in the garden, Adam and Eve experienced something that no other humans have ever experienced. They experienced the paradise of God. They experienced intimacy with God, the closeness with God that we'll one day be able to experience in the same way that they did. There in that garden, there were no thorns or thistles. It says that they were naked and unashamed. There were no clothes. Eve was the only woman who ever truly could say, "I just don't have anything to wear." And it didn't bother her. Adam and Eve didn't have in-laws. They only had one law, and that was the rule, the prohibition, that had to do with that tree in the midst of the garden. When Satan came to tempt Eve, she would say to him what God had said to Adam earlier. There in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, she understood what the prohibition was. It says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Well, through his guile, Satan convinced Eve that by taking this forbidden fruit, she would in some way elevate herself to the status of God, that she would be like God, knowing good from evil. So she ate. She gave some to Adam, and he ate. And in that instant, everything changed. Have you ever made a small move that seemed inconsequential, that had far-reaching negative results? This past week, as Tony and I headed down one of the freeways in Los Angeles, five lanes and the traffic moving, I needed to get over into another lane, and I realized that if I wasn't careful, moving from this lane to that lane could move me much further than I intended. I could end up in the ICU unit there, in terrible shape with that one little move done wrong. Adam and Eve probably had no idea of the consequences of their action. They thought they were taking a baby step into a forbidden zone. But in reality, they were taking a quantum leap away from the very presence of a holy God. Now, chapter 3 will go on to outline the horrendous consequences that came from their action. Paradise became a place of history. They lost their innocence. They lost that relationship that they had with God. And God, instead of being one who walked with them in the cool of the evening, who came and was part of their everyday life, God, for them, became a distant God. Sinful man and a holy God were separated by that great gulf of sin. You know, if the Bible were like what we read in most world religions, the story would go on from that initial fall by saying that Adam and Eve were over here separated from their holy God, but they began slowly to work their way back, and they began to try and discover ways to get back to God. And eventually, one day, they made it all the way back, and they found their way home to that holy God. That's the way world religions tell the story. Not so the Bible. You see, sinful man is not the one who took the initiative. God was the one who took that initiative and began to move towards sinful man. We love because he first loved us. He took that initiative. He made the first move. He longed for the intimacy that had been shared there in the garden. And so God was the one that began to move closer. And we see progressively God's movement toward man throughout Scripture. Remember the incident there when Moses was out as a shepherd caring for the sheep in the wilderness, and he saw the fire up on the mountainside, and it was burning, but it never seemed to burn out. And so he went to investigate, and there was God coming close, drawing near to Moses. But even when Moses drew near, God said, there's a limit on how close we can get. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5, he told Moses, do not come any closer. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. And so even though God had begun to draw closer to man, there was a limit on how close that intimacy could be. After the Exodus, Moses led the children of Israel out into the Sinai Peninsula, and he gathered them around that holy mountain. He went up on the mountain, but before he went, he gave a word of warning to the people. These people were about to become one nation under God, in the truest sense of the word. God was about to become their God and was about to give them laws, making them into his people. He was drawing ever closer, but even there was a limit on how close people could get. In Exodus 19, verse 12, Moses warned the people that as he went up the mountain, that they were to stay behind certain bounds. God said to Moses, put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch it or touch the foot of it. And so they could sense God's presence in the rumbling and the fire on the top of the mountain. They knew God had drawn close to them, but still there were boundaries that were firmly in place. And so they waited. And among the laws that God would give them, by which God would govern and protect them as His people, was the most exciting news of all. Because when Moses came down, he said, "You're to build a structure because God will come and dwell among you. He will dwell in the very midst of you, and as you travel through those years of wandering, God will always be present. And that tabernacle will contain within the core part of it the Holy of Holies, where the very presence of God will be." And so God begins, as man sins, to draw ever closer toward sinful man. But still, there are boundaries. God said, "Make me a sanctuary, and I will dwell among them." But He also said, there is to be a select group among the people that will come in and minister to me. And they're to be the sons of Aaron. They're to be the Levitical group. And those can come in to the inner sanctuary in places where the others cannot come. And even from that group, there's to be one man who is allowed to go one day out of the year on the Day of Atonement into the Holy of Holies. And the people must have been thrilled that they served a God who was so close that their high priest was allowed access into the very inner sanctum with that holy God. But that wasn't enough for our God. He wanted to be closer still to mankind that He loved. And so in the fullness of time, the Holy Spirit overshadowed a young virgin, a young lady by the name of Mary. And she conceived, and the child she bore was the Son of the living God. And among the names that were given, they were to call Him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Remember the time that Philip would ask Jesus? He said, "Just let us see the Father. That's enough for us. Just let us see what God is like." And Jesus, in patience, said to Philip, "Don't you know? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I am God in the flesh. I am God with you." And now, the access that is allowed to His people as God draws ever closer, it's not access just for a particular tribe. It's not access just for one man on one day out of the year. Now Jesus is here among His people. He is so close that you can reach out and touch His hand. You can look at Him. You can observe Him. You can talk to Him. Remember that woman with the issue of blood? She reached out and only touched the hem of His garment and was cured from the disease that she had had. And every leper that touched the Savior was cured of their disease. And every little child was blessed by the touch of Jesus as He held them in His arms. And in Jesus Christ, God continued to draw ever nearer and nearer to mankind that He loved. He was right there among them, accessible to any of them. And mankind was able to be so close to God that they could reach out with their physical hand and touch Him. And they were so close that they could spit on Him. And they were so close that they could reach out and punch Him. And they were so close that they could beat Him. And they were so close that they could take His hands and His feet and drive nails through them. Have you ever tried hard to make some relationship work? Maybe it was a marriage. Maybe it was a relationship between your child or your parent. Maybe it was a working relationship. Maybe it was a friendship. But have you ever tried, and I mean really tried, to make a relationship work only to be rebuffed? Only to be slapped in the face? I don't know how you react to that. I know how I tend to react. If I draw close and make every effort and I am rebuffed, I tend to recoil. I go back to the original position. God didn't do that. God was so determined to be close to us, that God forgave. He forgave even that. The horror of the cross. And yes, Jesus rose. And yes, Jesus did leave. And He did go back home to the Father. And He did take His seat at the right hand of the Father. But that's not all He did. He had talked earlier to His followers about the Spirit that He would send, the Counselor. Joel had prophesied it even earlier, that in those last days that the Spirit of God would be poured out upon all flesh. And so Jesus simply told His followers before He went back up to the Father, He said, "Go and wait in Jerusalem." And they did. And they waited. And there on the day of Pentecost, that prophecy came true. The words of Jesus were verified. And the Holy Spirit was poured out. And on that day, salvation was accessible. You see, it wasn't available. That kind of intimate closeness to God wasn't available just to Levites. Not just to the high priest. Not even just to Jews. They would learn that a short time later. That kind of intimacy with God, that kind of closeness with God would be available for all of mankind. And Peter explained that day how to access that gift of forgiveness so that we can be close to God forever. You know that familiar verse, Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The promised Spirit was made available on that day. And something absolutely incredible happened. And it happens every time a sinful man or a sinful woman takes God at His Word and accepts that gift of forgiveness on His terms. They become one with God. Paul would describe it like this: "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God?" No longer does God speak to us from a mountain. No longer does He allow just one tribe or one man to access His closeness. No longer is God available just in human flesh in one location at one time. God is now available for intimate relationship with any sinner who will allow Him. God has moved across that gulf. He took the initiative. He stood beside man. And now, because of the gift of the Spirit, He moves inside. And God dwells within our hearts. That's how close God is to us. God is inside you right now if you're a Christian. He is available for that kind of intimate relationship for anyone that will allow Him. At the beginning, we read the passage that I want to close with in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul said, "Remember that at one time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." And so this morning, if you want to be close to God, let me tell you this. You don't want to be close to Him half as much as He wants to be close to you. He's the one who traveled across that gulf. He's the one who made it possible for that closeness. He longs for it. If you'll allow Him, He'll cleanse you. He'll give you that promised gift of the Holy Spirit. If you need to respond today, let me encourage you in the strongest terms not to leave here before accepting that gift on His terms. If you're here today and you need to begin your journey afresh, let us pray for you. Let us help you in any way we can. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?